T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb, and our guest today is a woman who, by all accounts, lives by the principles that define being exceptional. Michelle Cully is a successful business owner, mother, and wife who has triumphed over some incredible challenges. Armed with just a high school degree and very little money, she escaped an abusive relationship 25 years ago and started her own trucking company that is now a multi-million dollar venture with operations coast to coast. She has just released her first book called High Heels in the Laundry Room, How I Faced Fear, Found My Voice, and Started a Business on My Terms. Michelle hopes by sharing her struggles and sacrifice, she'll inspire other women to chase their dreams. Michelle is here with us this morning to share a little insight. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so happy to have you. I was so intrigued when I saw your book. First of all, congratulations. That's a huge undertaking.
Thank you.
And I'm sure it was a labor of love, because I know writing a book is, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of devotion. And you're already a pretty busy lady.
I'd say so, a little bit.
Yeah. So I want to take us back a little bit, because when people look at you today, they see a successful business owner. They see somebody who, now you're an author, you're a public speaker, you've done very, very well. What they don't see is what happened years ago. So take us back to that time, 20, 25 years ago, when you were feeling broken.
Oh, absolutely. It was a very dark time for me. I dated this guy that I went to school with that was very verbally and emotionally abusive. And over time, he was physically abusive, and I kept all of that to myself. I didn't want anyone to know what I was going through, especially my family, because had they would never have allowed me to be with him. Mm-hmm. And in my mind at that time, not being with him was worse than what I was going through.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very dark, dark time.
And you were teenager, 20s?
It started when I was 16.
Wow.
Yes. And the thing, you know, the crazy thing is I come from the most loving family. I am one of four. My mom and dad are still married. And I was, you know, raised in a very healthy family life. And it just happens. It can happen to anybody.
What broke the cycle for you? What made you say, aha, I need to get out of this situation?
Well, actually, it wasn't even me. It was him. He actually broke up with me. At this point, I was 23 years old, and I was working for him. I was driving his car. I was living with him. So everything about myself really relied on him. And one day he came home and he said, I'm done. Get out. Pack your stuff and leave. And so I fell to the floor. And I truly didn't know how to get out.
Because he had, by design, he had your life completely dependent on him.
Absolutely. Everything I did was really, I really relied on him. And so when he broke up with me, I literally crumbled to the ground, and I lied on that floor crying and crying, and my mother, my sister, my best friend, and my aunt came over to pick me up, and they threw
literally
and physically, yes, and I was rolled up in a blanket on the floor, and they put my stuff in a trash bag, and they said, okay, you need to get up, let's go, and I said, I can't move, and I couldn't move, and I was crying and crying, and they said, okay, so two of them grabbed my arms, and two of them grabbed my legs, and they carried me out, and they put me in the back of their car.
It shows the importance of having a support network,
yes,
a strong family, strong friends, people that when you're down are going to lift you up and say, nope, you know, you gotta face this. So tell me then, fast forward a little bit from then, you start to come out of it. What makes you think at 23 years old, without a lot of education,
no.
very little money, I suspect.
No money.
No money. I'm going to start my own trucking company.
Yes.
How did that go?
Well, what happened was after spending a week on my sister's couch and realizing that, you know, how did I get to this point? How did I allow myself to get to this point? Because I actually allowed it to happen. I wasn't a prisoner. I could have left at any time, but I just didn't know how to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lying on my sister's couch and I said, okay, I'm going to go back to his place of business and grab some things that I need. I really didn't need them. I just, you know, things happen for a reason. I drove to his place of business and I was going to grab some stuff. And I had one little box. For 6 years that I was with him, I had this one little box that I filled up and I was leaving. And he walked in and he said to me, so what are you going to do with your life? And I said, I have no idea. And I had no idea. And he said, well, you remember one thing, you will never amount to anything without me. And at that moment, I believed it. And I had tears streaming down my face. And I said, okay. And I jumped in my car and I drove. And I truly could have cared less what happened to me. I didn't care. I don't care if my car was hit by an oncoming car, if I went off the side of the road, I could have cared less. But I kept driving. And again, I said to myself that, how did I get to this point? How, like, everything about me really was relying on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I need to change this. And only I can do that. Nobody can do this for me. So in this little short drive, I was driving to my parents' house. And I said to myself, you know, I didn't want to go to college. I was 23 at the time. I didn't want to go work for someone because I only worked for him. I really didn't have a lot of skills. So I said, I'm going to open up a courier company. How difficult can it be? I'm going to move packages, and that's what I'm going to do. So I drove to my parents, and I walked in the door, and they were so worried about me. And they said, what are you going to do with your life, honey? And I said, oh, I'm going to open up a courier company today. I used to see couriers coming in and out of his place of business, my ex-boyfriend's, and not that he had nothing to do with transportation, but I would see at the time airborne or a local courier, and I'm like, how difficult can that be? I'll do that. And the irony of the whole thing is I have zero sense of direction. Like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah,
I mean,
you and me
I
both.
I got lost coming here, and I had it on my phone.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah, so I said, I'm going to open up my own courier company. And my parents said, oh, Jesus, like, we need to get
yes.
into therapy. Like,
yes,
what's going
they're
on?
They're like, ooh, okay, where'd that come
exactly.
from?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said, nope, I'm going to use your laundry room as my office, and I will be right back. And I jumped back in my car, and I drove to an attorney's office because I needed to have INC at the end of my business name. I had no idea what it meant. I just had seen it at the end of business names. So I knocked on this door from an attorney, and I said, I need to get incorporated today, and can you do that for me? And I got an appointment with him, and he said, okay, well, what's the name of your company? And I said, oh, I have no idea. I just came up with this like 5 minutes ago.
So then did you come up with the name? Just
sat there
bam.
And came up with a name. It was a bunch of different names. And
which is Expressman.
It's Expressman yeah. Trucking and Courier. He started with an E, and I said, oh, drop the E. It was like the first big executive decision I made was to drop the E and put just the X.
Yeah.
And so I left there. I drove to Office Max. I bought some supplies. I then went to Radio Shack, and I bought a push-button phone and a pager because we didn't have cell phones back then.
Right.
And I jumped in my car, and 2 days later, I had a business in my parents' laundry room.
And that's amazing.
And I sat there, you know, literally a few days later, and I said, oh, gee, like it hit me that I had a company. And I'm like, now what do I do? I mean,
have to run this company.
Right. So I opened up the good old-fashioned Yellow Pages and started with, you know, a specific industry. And I started calling companies saying, hi, my name is Michelle. I was wondering if you would use my delivery service. And I got no after no after no. And I sat there saying, oh, my goodness, like, what did I do? And so made another call because I didn't have a choice. And the next customer said, sure, we'll use your services. And I said, you will? And they said, sure. So I said, okay. So I call forward my phone to my pager. So the customer would call my phone. I'd get the page. I have to go find a pay phone to call the pager to get the message and then call the customer on the pay phone. So I'd scrounge for change. I didn't have any money to make the call. And then I'd get the delivery. And then I'd have to rely on myself to find.
You were the delivery
person.
I was
the delivery person.
You were the receptionist. You were the salesperson. You were the delivery person. You were the accountant.
All of it. Every single bit of it. And I self-taught myself everything that I know today. And it was, trust me, there was a lot of, you know, it was all trial and error. Like, I made a lot of mistakes. I got lost. I would lose packages. It was a disaster. But I never gave up.
You never gave up. I love you wrote this book, High Heels in the Laundry Room. Did you actually dress for the part as well? Is why you named it High Heels? Were you dressed?
I got dressed in a suit and heels every day for work. And it may have been the same one, or every other day it was the same one, because, again, I didn't have anything. And I would go to work every day in a pair of high heels. And my parents live in this little comfortable house, and I would click, click, click through the little living room to the dining room to get to the laundry room. And my dad would say to me, "Mish, where are you going dressed like that?" And he's like, "You're only going to the laundry room." And I said, "Dad, I'm going to the office today." And that's how I treated it.
Did the people around you, do you think, did they really buy into it at first, or were they sort of just catering to, like, "Oh, this will pass"? Or did you really have, do you think, their commitment and their support?
I definitely had their commitment and support. I mean, at the time, it was so small. And I think because it was such a really dark time for me, it was more, "Oh, let her do this. Like, she needs to get through this dark time, and maybe this is what she needs to get through this." And,
right.
And I don't think they thought anything beyond that at that time.
Right.
But then, as it started to become successful and over the years, then I think they were like, "Oh, wow, she wasn't kidding."
Yeah. If you're just joining us, I want to reintroduce Michelle Cully. She is a successful entrepreneur, CEO. She's the author of a new book called High Heels in the Laundry Room, where she talks about how what nearly breaks us can make us stronger, in the hopes of inspiring other women to face their fears and realize their dreams. Let's get back to our conversation. I want to ask you about how you did all of this with a family. You have kids. You have a family. I'm sure you have friends. How do you have a company like this? Because when you're growing it, you know, at a certain point, you can probably step back a little bit when you have a whole staff. But in those early days, how did you balance your time?
You know, it was very difficult. I remember being pregnant with my first daughter, Jessica, and I was 8 months pregnant, and I was in preterm labor. And I remember being in the delivery, well, I wasn't in the delivery room, but the room before that, you know, on my cell phone, making these calls to customers. And I remember the doctor saying,
Hold on, kid.
Put the phone away. It was so hard. I remember having conference calls in my truck, because the kids were little at the time, and I would be in my truck with the car running, and I would, you know, put them with a snack in front of the TV, and I would be in the truck making a call, like a very important business call, and then I'd see them come out the door looking for me, and I'd have to put the piece of paper up over the window so they couldn't see me. Because I was like, "No, I need to make this call." But you know what? It's all about balance. You know, I did what I had to do work-wise. And then when I came home, I would do what I could to make a dinner, to sit down and have playtime as much as I possibly could. And I always had mother's guilt. I always felt I should spend more time. But then I had work guilt. I should work more. And
right.
So it really was, it was a hard balance. But somehow, us women, we pull it off. We find a
and
way.
And I think it's, I mean, personally, I think it's really good for kids to see a mom who has a life outside of them.
Yes.
Not that they're not equally as important to you, but they see that, you know, you are in your own right, not just as mom, a very successful, smart, driven person. And that makes a really good role model.
Absolutely. And it's so important for me to show the children that they can do anything they set their mind to.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to, one thing for me is because I've relied on someone for so long, and it was, you know, at one point I never thought I would get out of it. I want the children to know that they need to work hard. They need to set the path for their own lives. They need to be successful and never rely on anyone unless it's for a friendship or for love.
I
want them to be independent. So knowing that in the darkest times, there is a way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important for them to see their mom work really hard and set her own career path. And I want that for them.
Right. And it doesn't mean they have to be the CEO
not
of a company.
At all. Absolutely.
I think you're right. It just means that you have to have, the only constant you have is yourself.
Absolutely.
Because marriages can end. Children grow up and they leave.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, you have to have a life carved out for yourself.
And whatever that is.
And whatever that is. And
yes.
It might not be, I don't mean you have to make a lot of money. It might be nonprofit. It might be a passion that you have. Or you might be a CEO and an author like you.
Absolutely. And I say that to them. I don't base success on how much money you have in the bank.
Right.
I never have. It's truly about what you're doing, what makes you feel good. You know, when you accomplish something in life for yourself, like, that's success.
What does your company look like today?
wow, it's amazing. It really is. And it's so funny because I, you know, I'm a pretty humble person. So when I take a step back and someone asks me that question, it puts a big smile on my face because I have an incredible team. I have an amazing staff, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do today without them. And I don't like to refer to them as employees. We are truly a team at the end of the day. And, you know, I have operations throughout the country. I have well over 100 drivers and employees.
Wow.
So, you know, we move a lot of products.
So you're not in the laundry room anymore.
I'm not in the laundry. I got kicked out after 6 months.
They're like, yeah, find your own laundry
drivers,
room.
I would have drivers coming in and out. My parents would be like, okay, you can't, honey, I'm having coffee in my bathrobe. You need to get an office.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. If you're just joining us, this is Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb, and we've been talking with the CEO, Michelle Cully, about how she went from leaving an abusive relationship with little education, little money, to becoming a powerful CEO of a multi-million dollar trucking company. High Heels in the Laundry Room is her new book about that journey. Let's continue on. I want to talk a little bit about the challenges maybe that you've faced in a male-dominated industry, because certainly trucking, when people, I'm sure that there's moments when you've met people and they're like, wait, you run this company? Because people probably so assume that it's a male that's the CEO. And then here you are, and you're this beautiful, people can't see you, but you're this beautiful woman and very put together. And it must be a little shocking to people.
Yes, absolutely. Especially in the younger days. Being a male-dominant industry, when I was younger, I would go to conventions and try to attend as many conferences as I could to, you know, put my name out there. And when I originally started out and I would attend these events, they would say to me, oh, are you so-and-so's secretary or so-and-so's assistant, or did your dad give you the company, or does your husband run the company?
And you're like, oh, no.
And I would sit there and be like, no, it's just, it's me. And my company was so small at the time. And so I think I was just looked, you know, looked over, and I wasn't taken very seriously. But I put myself out there. Even, you know, I was nervous to attend some of these conferences because, to be honest with you, I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
But I had to put
myself
out there.
Well, it's fake it till you make it.
Absolutely. That's 100%. What I said.
I've done it a million times.
Absolutely. And so I would put myself in the situations where I would have to be asked, you know, where is your company? How many drivers do you have? You know, what do you deliver? And so they were sort of forced to ask me those questions. And I would go out there and shake hands with these people, I don't even golf, and I would have to be on the golf course with them just to prove that I was someone, that I was here, and I was very serious. So I had to put myself in situations that, again, weren't very comfortable, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest everybody does that. Like, just when you are so afraid, if you ever think long and hard about what you're about to do, you would never have the courage to do what you want to do. And that's sort of what I thought about. And I'm like, you know what? It's about taking chances, and that's what I had to do.
Why did you decide to write the book, and why now?
Very good question. So I actually started to write this book 12 years ago in my son's Darth Vader notebook.
Really?
Yes. This goes way, way back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So what happened was, so earlier on after the children, I did get divorced, and I was single for quite some time. And I was running the business, raising the children, and I decided to move, and I built this house. And I built the house, and the children were outside playing, and I was in the backyard. And I was looking around, and at this time I was 35 years old. And I was looking around, and again, being a humble person, I said to myself, like, I did this. I'm 35 years old, and I did this. This girl was tattered and torn and broken and rolled up in a blanket and didn't believe in herself and couldn't look in the mirror. And now look at me. And, like, I'm proud of you, Michelle. And I said that to myself. So I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book today. Everybody must write books. I'm going to write a book. So I didn't
And that's the way how you operate. Michelle operates like, I'm going to start a company today, and now I'm going to write a book today, period.
Exactly. And that's what I did. And so I said, all right, well, I don't even have a computer because I just moved in the house. So I saw my son's Darth Vader notebook, and I pulled it out, and I poured a glass of wine.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then I started
that's key.
And I started to write my story. And I wrote this story. And when I was done, I called one of my girlfriends and I said, I just need you to listen to something. So I read it to her. And she said, oh my goodness, I have goosebumps. That's your story. And I said, it is. And I said, what do you think? She's like, you need to keep writing. So I did. So I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And then I shelved it for a while because I was so afraid to tell my story.
Well, it's a pretty vulnerable thing to do. I mean, you're putting yourself out there, the most personal part of you, which is your story.
Yes.
out to the public.
Absolutely.
And you're sharing
and
it.
I didn't share the story with anyone. No one. Actually, years later, the only two people that I told were two of my best friends. And so for me to take this story and all the things that I went through that was the ugly side of the story, the dark times, I was really exposing myself. So I was very nervous. So I shelved it. And I, again, wasn't ready. And then different opportunities came up. And I wasn't afraid anymore. I'm like, I'm going to tell this story. I'm not afraid. I wasn't just in an unhealthy relationship. I was in an abusive relationship. So I need to get this story out there and share it with everyone and know that in the darkest times, there's light and there's hope. And I wanted to inspire people.
And I want to ask you, too, what is the sort of, in your mind, the great lesson that you took away from what you went through? Because, you know, it's part of who you are.
Yes.
It shaped you, certainly. What would you say your big takeaway is, besides sort of never giving up, what did you learn from sort of falling down and then picking yourself up and moving on?
I think one of the biggest lessons for me was that I did it, that And again, that I pulled myself out of something that was so horrific, and that the lesson was writing this book and taking this book and having others read it and know that life is not easy. Life is really difficult. There's good and bad, but there's really, really at times bad times. And for someone who's going through a really dark time to read this book and know that anything is possible in life, I think for me, was just an important story to tell. So my lesson was to believe in myself, to know that I am a smart girl, to know that I can do this, to know that anything is possible. And that really was my lesson.
And I'm sure, too, for people listening, it wasn't as though you just went from 0 to 60.
Oh, God, no.
I'm sure there were times during this journey, as you were building the company, that you kept stumbling because you learned by mistakes and trial and error and things like that, but you kept going.
I did. I cried more than I could even possibly tell you. I cried because I lost a customer. I cried because I got lost. I cried because I had no life. My friends would be, you know, at that time going out and doing things that you do in your 20s, and I was packing my car full of boxes making deliveries. And so I would cry, and I'd say, I have no life. I'm not making any money. I don't want to do this anymore. And my dad would tap me on the shoulder and say, Michelle, pick your head up. You can do this. You've come this far. You continue. And that's what I did.
Amazing. We're already out of time. I can't believe how fast that went by, because your story is that engaging. And I think it's a lot of people listening are going to be able to relate to your story. I hope that they'll pick up your book. I'll mention the name of it again. It's called High Heels in the Laundry Room: How I Faced Fear, Found My Voice, and Started a Business on My Terms. Michelle Cully, thank you so much
for
inspiring us
me.
And for sharing so much with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you to Michelle Cully for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We wish you continued success in all you do and hope our listeners will pick up your book, High Heels in the Laundry Room, to get inspired to live out their own dreams. I'm Sue Tabb. You've been listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Remember that exceptional women are everywhere. We talk to celebrities, authors, CEOs, but we are also interested in your neighbors, your coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks to my producer, Kendra Petroni, and to all of you for listening. Be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.